1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now that verse of Scripture, along with others in the Bible, give us a very clear understanding of the pecking order, if I can use that term, that God has intended, or rather the channel of authority and the line of authority that God has intended in His family. Within the earthly family, the father is the head. The wife or mother is subject to the father. Do you see anywhere in there the children in this pecking order? Do you see anywhere in there the children in this line of authority, in this chain of command? They're not there. But you wouldn't know that to go in many homes. You wouldn't know that to go in many Christian homes. You would think that the children were on the throne in that home. And yes, they are. I want to share with you this morning what a problem that is, and share briefly, in the interest of time, from a passage from the Old Testament. Those of you that are suffering under that kind of situation in your home, I want to show you what condition exists there. Would you bow your heads with me, please, for a word of prayer? Now, Father, we want to know not men's ideas, but we want to know God's. We want the Word of God, not the opinions of men. We don't want the traditions of men, for they bind. But we'd rather have the truth of God, for it sets us free. Now, we are confident this morning, Father, that praying thusly and earnestly seeking the illumination of your Spirit, that you will, in fact, share with us truth, and that you will open up a truth for us today that will profit us and benefit us and help us to have more order in our homes and families. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks in advance for what you're going to share. Rivet it upon our memories, impress it upon our hearts. Make it a part of our life. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 3. The third chapter of Isaiah shows us the problem that exists in many of our families. God is speaking through the prophet to his own family, Israel, and he is describing to them that because of their own wickedness and because of their own stubbornness and their own unwillingness to yield to his supervisory oversight and his fatherhood, that they were in a very difficult and distressful time. And it's the description of their problem that I want you to see this morning, starting to read in the first verse. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, or the elder, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, Thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under our hand, under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer. For in my house is neither bread nor clothing, make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Now the prophet is describing here, forecasting rather, the fall of Judah and the ruin of Jerusalem. God in the first three verses has removed the normal supply and he has removed the normal order. He has taken away the wise men and the ancients or the elders. He has removed the judge and the prophet. He has removed from them the line of authority and the line of command that should have been operating in their land. In the fourth verse, he says, what will happen will be, children will be your princes, and babes will rule over you. Instead of having God's order in your nation, you will have rather babies and children who will rule you. The 12th verse says that when that happens, that children will be oppressors. Verse number 12 says, as for my people, children are their oppressors. Verse 5 tells us that when children rule and when babes bear rule, it is oppression for the people. Now, unfortunately, we've got the same kind of circumstance happening in homes today. We've got adults, rational, right-thinking adults, oppressed in their homes. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 16 says, woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child. Woe to you, O parents, when the ruler of your household is a child. Many of our homes today are in ruins. Many of our homes are falling apart. There are many homes that are not ruined yet, but they are rapidly on the way to ruin because authority and normal order has fallen asunder in the home. The evidence that that has happened is that children rule and children call the shots and children oppress their parents. You say, Pastor, how does that happen? Most of you aren't saying, Pastor, how that happened, because most of you are living. And you know what I'm talking about. Several weeks ago, I had occasion to go up here to the local Shoney's for lunch. I asked them to seat me in the no-smoking section, and I thought that would be a place where I could have, a nice, quiet lunch. I want to read the Word. Just have lunch. And there were four or five tables occupied, and over in the corner was a group. There were two women, and it sounded like 40 children. Actually, it was three. I have seen some bad kids in my life, but I have never seen that kind of activity. Hollering. I mean hollering, not just talking loud. I understand children talking loud. Hollering. No! Give that back to me! Mother, make him thus and so! You've seen all of that. It's bad enough to have it in the house, but having Shoney's, they drove out everybody in the place except me. And I just wouldn't be driven out. But I was having difficulty walking in love. After a bit, another lady came in and she brought her entourage. And this was a Christian lady, a lady I recognized, a lady who'd been here to this church several times. She recognized me, chatted just a moment over the din, was in the room. And she moved in with her children, and it just increased the din in that corner. Some of you would be concerned about this, I would think. I'm going to tell you I am. I won't invite families into my home whose children don't know how to behave. I don't want to go to my home. I love children, but I don't want to go to my own home and have four kids running through the house screaming and hollering and throwing things and pulling on the furniture and shoving stuff around and et cetera, et cetera. We never did move things for our kids. When our kids were raised up, we taught them how to not touch that. Now, it takes a little while, but you got to do it. And if you want to be invited out, if you want to be invited with your children, you're going to have children that are well behaved. not children that you have to be holding on to all the time, that rule you. And children do rule the lives of families because their parents never get asked anywhere because the kids are so horrid. Children need to be taught from an early age. You must understand that if children are not restrained and trained, they will oppress you. Now, children will oppress and can oppress at every age. They can oppress when they're tiny babies. They can cry and fuss for attention when there's nothing wrong. They're well fed, the diaper is dry, the room is comfortable, there's nothing jabbing them, but yet they cry and fuss until you finally pick them up. What are they doing? They're ruling you. They are ruling you. But I can't stand to hear them cry. Then be prepared for 20 years of oppression, because that's what you're going to get. And after they're adult, then you will get into the real oppression. They will start when they're very young. It's the natural thing for them to do. And they must be restrained and trained, or they will oppress you. Now, as they get into the upper years, when they begin to grow, this is when the oppression can get real strong, when they get into the teenage years, up into the junior high and high school years. And I've identified three areas today that I want to describe for you where oppression is presently taking place. And I want to identify these three areas and just speak on them briefly. One of the areas in which parents are being oppressed by their children is in the music which is in their homes. Well, they just like that, and I don't want to deny them, you know, that, and so I've got them a stereo, and as long as they do it behind their closed door, or as long as they don't drive us completely out of the house, it's all right. But behind the closed door, do you have any idea what the kids are listening to? Have you listened to any of the songs? Every once in a while, I'll go into a restaurant, and I hear the music playing. They'll have the music coming over the, you know, the speakers while you're sitting there and eating. I can't believe the words to some of these songs. I can't believe what the kids are listening to. And then when you tell them, don't listen to that, it's like you're depriving them of food. And they want to control you. And you feel guilty because you're crunching them up and denying them something. Baloney. This one, so listen to this song. This, anybody ever heard of a singer named Billy Joel? Billy Joel? Billy Joel. Okay. Is he popular? Is he? Anybody heard the song, Only the Good Die Young? Anybody heard that song? Willing to Confess It? It's a song that pokes fun at family life, marriage, prayers, confirmation, rosaries, anything religious, and implies that everyone fornicates sooner or later. One verse goes like this. Come out, Virginia. Don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. But sooner or later it comes to fate. I might as well be the one. Now there's just an example. I find I tune through my dial. I don't have cable, and so I don't have the MTV and all that junk on my cable. But I go through the dial, and it stops on channel 69, which is one of these rock video disc music channels. If you want to see demons playing around, just tune in that channel. Just watch it just for a few minutes. Or tune in channel 17 on Friday or Saturday night late, or some of the other main channels on the weekend, and get the overnight kind of stuff. And watch, just watch a moment and see what the kids are being fed today. If we don't do something about it, you're going to have oppression. But I can't stop my kids from watching that. Don't you tell me you can't stop it. Who do you think you are? You're the one that God has given authority and rule in the house. You want to say I'm ruined and I'm fallen. You could say that and that would be accurate. Who runs things in your house? Yeah, but if I come down too hard, they'll leave. Let me tell you something. Until you make a decision that it's all right if they left, they will have you under your control, under their control. Now, nobody wants their kids to leave home. I don't want my kids and you don't want yours. But I'm telling you this, there's a standard of behavior that's going to be observed in my home, and anyone who will not observe it is welcome to leave, and they know it. And until you establish that, you will be under their dominion and under their control. They know how to work you. Yeah, but my children are Christians. Anybody having any trouble? Anybody ever have any trouble with Christian kids in here? The devil works on the just and the unjust alike. And the kids haven't made these vital decisions yet. And as long as they're in our charge and in our care, we are responsible to make them walk the line. You say, Pastor, that is too harsh. Wait till you have kids of your own. Then you'll find out whether it's harsh or not. My dad used to tell me when I was 15, he told me about his own experience when he was 15. He said, you know, when I was 15, Vic, I thought my dad was the dumbest man who ever drew breath. But when I was 20, I couldn't believe how much he'd learned in 5 years. The same will happen with you. The second area where we need to take control over our families is in the area of clothing. I'm going to tell you something. If you allow your kids to wear the styles, you're going to have trouble. See-through clothing, tight clothing, short clothing, attention-getting clothing. It's very difficult, moms, to take your girls down to the store and buy them a decent pair of shorts. It is difficult for you to do. I realize that. How many of you can sew? Let me see your hands if you can sew. You may have to sew some shorts if you want some shorts for your children, or buy them from somebody who does sew. Don't you tell me I can't buy them anywhere. I'll buy you some fabric, a needle and a thread, and a pattern, and put you in touch with somebody who'll do the sewing for you. I mean it. We send our kids off to school, send them off in clothing that husbands, you wouldn't let your wife go up the street in. But the girls go off in them. Yeah, but when I talk to her, she said, well, everybody else is wearing them and we have a seam. If you lose because you have a seam, you have your children ruling you and you are under oppression. The fact that there is a seam and the fact that it intimidates you tells me that you're oppressed. The third area I want to talk to you about is the company that your children keep. Do you know who your children spend time with? Or do you just think you know who they're spending time with? Do you know who your children's friends are and who their peers are? Do you know who they take their guidance from and who they respect and who they revere? I find this to be very difficult among parents. It's very difficult for parents to refuse their children what they want or restrict them in any way, because of the trouble the kids cause. Rather than causing a scene, the parents just back off and the children run the house. Now, God takes a dim view of this kind of behavior, parents. You may think that's the easy way to raise kids, but I'm going to tell you that one day you will have to bear judgment for it. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. In this passage, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and chapter 3, the story is recorded of Eli, the priest of God, and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Hophni and Phinehas were bad actors, very bad actors. They held the offering of God in contempt. The Bible says they abhorred the offering of God because they took the priest's portion before it was ever offered to the Lord, contrary to the law of Moses. They fornicated around the altar with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle. Verse number 22 of chapter 2 now. 1 Samuel 2:22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, Who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Over in verse 29, God spoke to Eli. He said, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. In other words, you honor your sons before me. Third chapter, verse number 13, God spoke to Samuel, gave Samuel the word of the Lord for Eli. This is the word, it's very sharp. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Now, he was quick to scold them, and he was quick to verbally correct them, but he did not restrain them. I told you before that if you're raising children, you will have to train and restrain. Otherwise, they will oppress. Eli refused to restrain his sons. It cost his sons their life, and it cost Eli his life. You can read about it in the fourth chapter. God requires better in his parents. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Referring to the qualifications for a bishop or an elder, an overseer in the church of God. One of the qualifications is in verses 4 and 5. In order to be a bishop, a man must be one that ruleth well his own house. Do you notice the word ruleth? Sometimes we don't like to deal with that word, rule, because it implies responsibility. We don't like to take the authority because it implies responsibility that goes with that authority. Because of our own insecurities, we prefer to allow our children to make their own decisions. God's word says that we must rule. To have decent order in a home, there must be rule. That rule need not be authoritarian. It ought to be loving, as God's is, but it must be rule. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Now, where does it say there that the children fit in the pecking order of things? Where are they? At the bottom. Now, kids, you may not like that, but that's the way God has set it up, and he set it up that way for your protection and for your good. You're to be in subjection so that you will learn how to rule your own house when you have one. But you will never learn how to rule your own house properly being a stubborn and rebellious child in your father's house. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? The problem does not get easier, beloved. As a matter of fact, it gets more difficult. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that in the last days, perilous times are coming, and that one of the things that indicates these latter times are the children will be disobedient to parents. They will be unthankful. They will be fierce, despisers of those that are good. They'll be heady. They'll be high-minded. Even in Christian homes, you can find that kind of thing. I want you to recognize today, if you don't hear anything else I said, I want you to realize that to have your children rule in your home is to be a reproach and to be under a curse. If you allow your children to run your home, to dictate your schedule, now if you work your schedule around your children by choice, that's one thing. But if you allow your children to dictate your schedule, to dictate your habits, to dictate your friends, to dictate what you do and when you do it and how you do it, you're under reproach and under a curse. To be ruled by them is to be oppressed by them. But Pastor, don't we have to teach our children how to make their own decisions as they're getting older? Yes, we do. And as they get older, you want your teenage children making their own decisions as long as they're in line with your values. So ultimately, you see, you oversee. They make their own decisions, but within prescribed limits. And if they get out of those limits, the hammer comes down. If you're afraid to bring the hammer down, You will live oppressed as long as your children are in your home. And they will oppress you even after they leave. Yes, but Pastor, if I make it so hard on my children that they leave the house, they'll wind up on Peachtree Street in prostitution, doing drugs, crime, all that sort of thing. That's the devil's scare tactic for you. And that's the very thing he uses, you see, to make you be a panty waste in terms of requiring a proper standard of behavior among your children. I'm not talking about robots. I'm not talking about raising mindless idiots. I'm talking about raising responsible young adults who know how to live under authority, who know how to be obedient, and who know how to be responsible, and who will be good husbands and good wives and good mothers and good fathers and good citizens when they reach adulthood for themselves. Who's going to rule in your house? Who's going to make the decisions in your house? Will it be you, or will it be your children? Babies were their rulers, and children were their princes, and they were oppressed. After having heard what I shared with you this morning, you're only oppressed by choice. If you choose to be so, you'll have to bear the consequences. I want to share one final scripture with you from the book of Deuteronomy. You say, Pastor, that is a hard word, and I cannot accept that. I cannot take it. You've been too hard on our kids. You don't understand the kids. You're right. I don't understand the kids. But I do understand the Word of God. I got that down good. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Now watch this. Kids, you listen to this. Don't leave till you hear this. Deuteronomy 21. Verse number 18. This is a serious matter. I wouldn't take the time to share it with you if I didn't feel it was important. It's a serious business. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. You ever seen a situation like that? Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard or whatever it is that he happens to be. And all of the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, if we had one death among the youth group this week, we'd probably have a lot more obedience among the youth next week, don't you think? Now, we get a good chuckle out of that, but you understand the principle that's involved? If you lost your eldest son to the stones, how do you suppose it would be with the other three or four that were still at home? Suppose they'd be a little more responsive? You better know it. God is dealing with parents to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That means to bring them up recognizing order and authority. He spoke several times this morning here to the parents of these young children. Why do you suppose he's speaking that way? Because as we reach the latter days, it is common for children to be disobedient to their parents, heady and high-minded, and the influence from without is powerful in trying to destroy our kids. I was reading just this week in the newspaper Human Events, and some of you may get this. We send our children off to the finest schools to get them the best education, and this is what they get. Strange things continue to happen at Harvard University, where the best and the brightest supposedly go to school and or teach. John Womack Jr. graduated from Harvard in 1959, and some 23 years later, just currently, was given the Robert Woods Bliss Professorship of Latin American History and Economics and appointed chairman of the Department of History. Harvard University, chairman of the Department of History. Professor Womack, however, holds some rather curious beliefs. writing a squib about himself for the 25th anniversary report on the class of 1959, Womack admits to being on his third marriage, boasts of his membership in the American Civil Liberties Union, and says, quote, "In politics, I am, as I was 10 years ago, I remain a communist. This keeps me busy, but I am patient. To everything there is a season, and after centuries of devotion to greed, if the Adolfo, Dior, and Holston fascists don't have us all killed, there will come a world of equality, justice, and camaraderie care." Now, those are the brilliant minds that are instructing our young people and instructing our finest minds. Beloved, if you're raising children, these are perilous times to raise children in. And you cannot commit them to the world to instruct them. You can't even commit them to the church. This responsibility is yours, and you cannot shun it. You cannot escape from it. If you brought these children into the world, you have an obligation and a responsibility to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And if that calls for breaking a few rods across the fat of their backsides, then that's what it takes. But for God's sake, raise men and women of character. Raise men and women who will love God and who will be obedient and who will obey authority and will be a credit to the cause of Christ and a credit to the country that they're a part of. Hallelujah. 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 I cannot do it. The elders of this church cannot do it. This Christian Academy cannot do it. This is a parental responsibility. I feel very strongly about it. Very, very strongly about it. We will do everything we can to provide you the means to help and to assist and to undergird you and to strengthen you, but the responsibility is yours. Take not a harsh position, but take a firm position. That is, require obedience from your children. Do not permit them to oppress your family. I can't imagine a husband allowing a child to speak disrespectfully to his wife, or vice versa. When I grew up, I learned that when I spoke to my mother, I was speaking to my father. That was his wife I was talking to. And if I want to get myself in trouble, I just speak an unkind word to my mother. I had to deal with my father. I taught my boys the same way. I believe it's profitable.